God sure does work in mysterious ways. You know, they might as well just say it. A four-year-old randomly reaching out at that moment in his life and in her life, needing a grandpa. Who knows? That's a great story. Acceptance. Companionship. What did it do for that man? And for Nora. That's a beautiful story, isn't it? We need more of those stories. We need to celebrate more of those stories. They're happening not just there, but they happen here. And there's opportunity here as well. And I welcome you this morning. This is our 10:30 service here at Avalon Community Church. My name's Andrew. This morning you're in the middle, so to speak, of something that's way bigger than me. God stirred up something here regarding temptation and how not to get caught, so to speak. Temptation is something all of us face. And boy, have we hammered this one out. Last week, sexual temptation. Not exactly a subject that we bring up all the time from the pulpit here. And it was a big one. Just going into the relationships and where that could end up. Today, it's something way different. It's really how we look at fitting in and the desire to fit in, knowing that sometimes we take this into a whole other level. Just fighting to belong. When quite honestly, and quite simply, belonging kind of just takes place. God sends people our way, like a four-year-old Nora. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to work at it. Something very beautiful. And that's why I like stories like this, because quite honestly, when stuff starts to change and friendships start to come up and there's actually a little bit of a catalyst in your soul that says, I need to step out with this one. This one could be real. This could be iron sharpening iron. It's a risk. It's a risk, isn't it? To be vulnerable. A risk that this might not go where it could go. So why bother? And for other people, it may just be the fact that I don't need to risk right now. I'll just kind of hang on to myself and my situation. I'll just hang on a little bit longer. Temptation for lots of things, both good and bad. But friendships certainly do take a lot of work. And people say that one of the major reasons they fall into temptation is because they feel they need to do it to fit in with their friends. Sometimes temptation can go in a different way with friendship, and they're pressured, so to speak. We're going to take a look at how we fall into the trap of becoming something the world has set up for us to fit into. And the title of today is literally, How Not to Give In to Fit In. Everyone wants to fit in. No one wants to wake up in the morning and think, you know, I have way too many friends. Do you do that? I've got way too many friends. I go to school. I fit in so well. It's such a drag. I hate this. I just need to slack off my friendships a little bit here. What a problem this is in my life. I go to school and people like me. That's not how you wake up in the morning. You don't do that. It's terrible. Sometimes the pressure to fit in is so great that when we don't, it nearly breaks us. It destroys us. I remember when I was in fourth grade, and there was a group of us. We loved to bike everywhere, this neighborhood of biking dudes. We all just discovered BMX bikes, and we all had our little Huffies and Diamondbacks and just whatever we could build. And we were just jumping off anything that was, you know, not fixed to the ground. And we were having a blast. There was this one guy in our group, and we would ride everywhere. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, saw the personality changes in us. The more we hung out, the more we did, the more we were challenged. But there's this one guy in his group, and he's, as we would say, started to become the weird one. And I could tell, you know, people were real uncomfortable around him. He'd say something, and everybody'd be like, oh, that's not funny at all, okay? And then other times, people were laughing at someone else's joke, and he'd chime in, and everyone would get quiet and go, what was that all about, you know? It was awkward for him. And I recognized this, and it kind of hurt me inside because I saw him struggling to keep up with all the other guys. This is fourth grade. And I remember him. And I remember one day we were all hanging out at this one guy's house, Steve-O's house, and we were all playing Atari. And you guys remember Atari? Anyone here remember Atari? Okay, we actually played Atari back in the day. And we were hanging out, and Steve-O got up and delivered this kid a note. It says, dude, you're out of the group, signed the guys. I was like, I didn't sign that, you know. I felt horrible for my friend, but hey, he got the note. And I felt terrible, but oh, the pain he felt, man. He was out. He was crushed. Take your bike. See ya. He's like, check me in at the institution, man. I was done. I felt, yeah, he was horrible. This kid was out. He'd only lived like three doors down, but his parents spoke to these parents. Everybody's parents had to get together because now the boys were selecting who gets to be in the group. And the parents had to get involved. So now we've got parents that aren't in the group anymore. And it becomes a larger thing on the block. And it was a mess. I don't exactly remember the details of all of it, but I remember this one kid. He didn't say to himself, I need to find new friends. This one kid, what he did, quite honestly, was he said, how can I figure out a way to get back into that same group? He wanted back into this group. Later on, a year later, he was brought back into the group. But anyway, he fought for a whole year to get back into this group. And I don't remember exactly all the details, but I remember he tried to change himself to make him feel like he was worth something. And this happened at school, you know. Some of us think, Hobbs, that was a long time ago. It was fourth grade, you know. You were like 11 or whatever at the time. That doesn't happen anymore. And I think it does. I think it does no matter how old you are. People want to fit in. I see it in our staff at the school. I see it in our coaching staff. I see it with employees all kind of struggling to be at the top of their game, so to speak. And after work, it's just different when they're socializing together. You see it on social network, right? Social media. I think we do. I think we still see this to some extent, try to fit in, changing ourselves, tempted to change from who we really are. This thing goes on and off, this little posing switch that we turn on and off, quite honestly. God's created us to be a certain way with a certain crowd. And sometimes we fight that. Basically, we do this for four reasons. I think everyone can relate to these reasons. These are four big ones. Grab your outline if you have one with you. Take a look at these. I think everyone can relate to these. There's probably way more than this. But what I've done here is I've put together four big ones I think everyone can handle. Letter A, the first one is acceptance. That is what this guy was saying on the screen right here. I saw no other reason to be living. And this four-year-old made me think differently. I was accepted. The way I look at acceptance is like this. What is the basic criterion for you to come up and be a part of a group, so to speak? So, are you cool enough? Can you handle yourself in a social network? Can you talk the right talk? Are you on a sports team? Do you enjoy certain sports? Do you do the right stuff? That's acceptance, okay? That's kind of how we look at acceptance anyway. Are you cool enough to hang out with us? I know a certain company here on this island, a very, very large company, that quite honestly, when they're hiring at a certain level, they will bring in a board of directors to see how you hang and hold yourself socially in a certain gathering. They'll put a social together and just kind of examine how you handle yourself socially. How do you do in social circles and whatnot? Do you have what it takes, or are you awkward to some extent? You may or may not even get the job based on that. You know that? That really happens here. A couple years ago, I was in Thailand with a mission team. I've gone there many, many years to do work at a certain area in Thailand. A lot of fun. And we hook up with other networks that come in, and then I manage all those groups and do a sports camp or something like that. And this one group came in from Australia. And I remember this one particular time, this one kid brought out a jar of Vegemite. I just said the word, and you can hear it throughout the crowd. Has anyone here ever tasted Vegemite before? Hold your hand up proudly to say you survived it. Are you serious? Oh, my gosh. All right, so I'm sitting here. The smell of it's making me gag. So you know what's coming. One guy in the group said, Hobbs, I dare you to brush your teeth with this stuff. Challenge accepted. They looked right at me. I dare you to do this. So I filled my toothbrush to prove this. This is around 10 o'clock at night, too, so I'm just dead tired on my feet. What was I thinking? I was so sick, I couldn't stand it. My teeth were black. And I had gag reflexes going on for the next half hour. Everybody was going, that's so awesome. Okay? everyone. It was so funny. But why did I do that? Okay? Nobody wakes up in the morning, and if they see something like that on the shelf, goes for that. I feel sorry for you if you do. But I could not. The reason why was because I wanted people to think I could hang. I got a little Australian in me. Hand me the Vegemite. Oh, my gosh. Okay? It was bad news. I wanted some new friends. I wanted people to think, this guy's okay. He's relaxed. I was sick to my stomach. I'm not from Australia. I have not been weaned on puke in a can. I don't know. It was horrible. It was horrible. But I didn't do it for any other reason except that they could say he could hang out. It was really an awkward moment. But Vegemite, I spewed. B, everyone's looking for belonging. Write it in. Everyone's looking for belonging. The way I think about belonging is like identity. Identity. What group do you identify yourself with? How are you seen? Certain people here will gravitate on Front Street. Their identity is with the crowd that they run with. Okay? Social circles here on Catalina are few and far between. Sometimes you think you're part of everything, and all of a sudden you quite honestly look back, and there's no one really following you, and you're just searching for that in and of itself. You're looking for a group to identify with. Other groups, they just kind of gravitate toward each other. It's interesting, but I'll look down at the mall, 10 o'clock at night, and I'll see a group that identifies with basketball. And then I get a little closer, and it's the free Wi-Fi. That's what's going on down there, okay? But they identify. There's a clan. They're always there. They're together. There's a group in front of CC's. They just kind of hang out there. There's a group that likes to watch the terrible karaoke at night. They're always standing out front, watching in front of the galleon there. But I'm going deeper with this. Identity. When I was in high school, I was part of a group, a crew. We called ourselves the Soccer Guys. Not a very cool name, but we didn't come up with a name. It just kind of came up on us. We all played soccer. We wore the same shoes, basically the same haircuts, kind of had the same outfit. We just hung together. And this was a closed thing. So we ate together and had our own lunch area. It really felt like a clique, but, we all played soccer. We weren't looking to kick people out. But if you didn't play, you really didn't want to be around us. We talked about it all the time. That's just the way it was. What are you guys doing tonight? I don't know. Let's go down and, just start playing in the parking lot. We'd kick a rock around, play soccer with a rock. It was that lame. But we also hung around each other around big games. When the game came on the tube, Brazil was playing, Liverpool or something huge, it'd be something. Always together. Most high schools are still like this. You've got your skater crew. Your athlete crew, whatever, okay? All kinds of little belonging groups. Everyone seeks it out. Everyone wants acceptance. I know with the Zip Guides, we host dinners on Tuesday night. You can certainly see at this massive table of people, especially in the summer, those that really aren't already connected with each other, the stories of this person on their tour group that came through that day, right? And then you got the hostesses or the servers that had cruise ship folks walking in the restaurants, and they had this certain kind of person they had to serve in the restaurant, and they're all talking to each other too. So it's not just high schoolers. Everyone seeks it out. Everyone wants acceptance. Everyone wants to belong. Everyone has or is interested in identity. Here's the next one. Companionship. Write it in. Companionship. This is where things kind of take a turn a little bit. And I want to take friendship a little bit further by saying the word companionship. Everybody's got those friends that you see, on the sidewalk. Hey, man, see that game the other night? That was a great game, man. Believe those Astros? Can't believe the Dodgers didn't substitute this guy or like that. You get these little conversations, the water cooler stuff. But then there's others. They're like, hey, man, how's your knee doing? Didn't you have a surgery? Whatever, a procedure, hey, I heard about what happened. Yeah, man, I feel the worst. And listen, I'm thinking about you. Let's hook up, me, you, the brew house tonight. Let's grab a bite to eat and let's go further. It's deeper. You know what I'm saying? You got those kind of friends. And you go a little deeper, and all of a sudden something starts to grow inside you. And with that, there's kind of like a buddyship or a friendship that's deeper. For guys, as we get into stuff in church, we call it a band of brothers, where you just can't go backwards. You know too much of each other's story, and you start caring too much, and that's not a bad thing. And so you take it further. And small groups are designed to do that inside. A healthy small group is designed for story. But it sometimes, you know, is this way when people choose to sacrifice for someone else and it grows deeper. And they're going to drop whatever they're doing to make sure that you win. You do better. That's companionship. The Bible describes it as iron sharpening iron. They step into the plate when you're injured. They step on base if you can't run. They run for you. That's companionship. You hear all these stories about these kids that fall into the lakes. These Minnesota lakes, they start to freeze over this time of the year. And in the middle of winter, walking out by some icy lake, and you hear about these dogs that do these rescues, okay? They sense something's wrong. Someone's frozen inside this water. They're panicking. And where people tend to go, I don't know how close I can get to this person. They're looking for ropes. They're looking for what's going on. But a dog responds. This little Timmy's in the ice, and the dog charges right over the ice, skids right out into it, just dives right into the hole to save Timmy. The dog's not thinking to himself, I don't want to get wet. It's so cold outside. And when I come back inside, I'll have wet feet. I'm going to get spanked anyway, and this is so dumb. And Timmy, I'm really sorry. Thanks for playing fetch, but hey, take it easy, dude. Can't freeze, get you out of the freeze today. No, the dog simply goes for it. Just busts right in the water. Amazing stories. They're online all over the place. This is the time of the year we see these rescues going on. Doesn't matter. Real friends turn around and they go after someone. And they don't think the next day, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. They just do it. Right? Sometimes in big wave surfing, big waves, you know, the really big stuff, 20 feet and higher, where they tow people into these waves, they slingshot them with these little boats and little jet skis and whatnot. Someone will get into trouble, and these waves will cavitate. These people will go under and get hit by another one and go under even deeper, and they'll pop up just for one quick breath of air, and they get hit again on the head with another wave. And you'll see these guys bolt in on these jet skis, literally putting their own life on the line to spin out to grab that guy between sets and to get out of there. And they don't think the next day, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. They just do it, okay? And sometimes they do it for people they don't even know, okay? And sometimes they do it for people they don't even like, you know? Because there's this competition with the waves, and when they get out of the water, you know, that was, you cut me off. All kinds of stuff like that going on. Friendships are deep, or they're just static, you know? Think about it. It's either one or the other. And so you want this to go deeper. You want to go for that rescue. You want to know that I don't know why I just do this. I don't even know where I had the time to do this. I just know that you needed something and I'm here. Even if it's just to sit by the person's side. A real rescue. Everyone's looking for genuine companionship. The next one is simple. Security. The freedom from fear or anxiety. When my kids were little and we'd be in line at Target, or even Walmart, you know, and we're at the checkout stand, and there's like 12 of them, you know, and the kids would tend to kind of wander and grab candy from the different aisles. Can I get this? No. Can I get that? No. You know, and they're checking out stuff. Parents are staring at magazines, and everybody's just kind of doing the thing, and the kids wander, and then they come back to what they think is their mom, as they're kind of looking around at all the different people, and they just kind of hold that leg or that pant leg or that dress, and they turn around, they're like, you're not my mom. Stranger, stranger, you know? And they just kind of freak out, and they're crying. I see it all the time, especially the holidays, where you got 13, 15, 20 registers open up. Kids kind of meander around. And then there's that security, I got you. And they pull you up in there, okay? There's the, I'm the real mom. This is who you were looking for. Chill, okay? And there's this moment there. That's a cheesy little story, but man, this is the time of the year where the stores are nuts and parents can't do it all. But you remember maybe as a kid, the fear and anxiety of not knowing, does this person really care about me? Everyone's looking for acceptance. Everyone's looking for belonging, companionship, and security. Something special for you guys today. Haven't done this yet, and I'm inviting a small team of high schoolers from our Avalon School some of which I coach, some of which I'm just good friends with. And if they could come up here on the stage for me real quick, we got ourselves a little discussion panel. And what I want to do is ask a couple questions. I have just a very small handful of questions to get some wheels turning here, get some thoughts going as to what is it like in our local school. Meanwhile, while I say that, you guys pass these around for me. Yeah, you got to use them. Sorry about that. I want to welcome our exchange students here today, all over the place. Let me do my best here. Okay, Norway, Spain. Dude, I haven't met you yet. Is it Germany for you? For real. Not bad, okay. Finland. I haven't met you either.
Latvia.
Nice, all right. And Argentina. Very cool, guys. That's the only names I have for them. I'm sorry. They're all right here. And Dan is, and Kevin are hosting them, and you, we've got some guests, too, that are here as chaperones. Welcome to all of you guys. Welcome to the United States. Welcome to Catalina. But afterwards, hang out with them. Ask some cool questions. They came into Legends last night. I had a chance to see them pick up stuff that was way too expensive and walk back out again. So anyway, hey, guys, welcome. Now, remember, this is just amongst yourselves, so don't be nervous right now, right? It's just our little panel. Use a mic. My first question is this. Are there groups at your school, okay, or friends that make it hard to fit in? Are there groups, certain groups at your school that just kind of make it hard to fit in? Like, you don't go near that group for a certain reason. And how? Okay, you go first.
Jump in.
Okay, so I'll go. I personally don't really see it because I'm a very friendly person.
Click it on for me real quick.
Okay. Ooh, hi. I'm a very friendly person, and I really talk to anyone who's willing to listen. So I personally don't think so, but you do every once in a while have that kind of like person that's kind of like goes out of their way to just to make your day a little harder. But I don't really let it get me down.
You say it's a certain person, not necessarily a group.
It just depends. Some days, like some people are in bad moods, and I'm like, all right, you do you.
Right. Okay. Understood. Anybody else? Yeah.
I don't really like to hang out with the people who have been friends for a long time. Like, since I moved here not too long ago, they have their own little groups, and they're, like, really tight. So if I try to go talk to them, they're like, oh, like, I don't want you here.
Got it. So it's easier to find those kind of like you that they haven't been around so long. They don't necessarily have a group to hang
with.
They
don't have a certain group. But I could talk to anyone, personally.
Okay. You're cool with it and who you are? All right. Cool. Dudes, anyone?
I just try to avoid the people that, like, make the bad decision stuff. And I fit very well with the people, like, that play sports, stuff like that.
Okay. Anybody else? You guys are cool?
Yeah.
All right, good. Next question is this. We talked about how everyone looks to belong. They just want to belong. Okay, they want to feel that acceptance. What group do you identify with? And we heard from Christo saying some of the athletes. What crew do you hang with? Do you have a specific crew? Christo kind of answered that question. What about you guys?
Mostly for me, the people that are like trying, I guess you could say, trying to get to a place, like who like know, I don't know how to say it. Yeah, like also the sports people, like the girls that are on my team and stuff. But also I sometimes go out of my way to a lot of them, a lot of friends, and then there's who don't play sports. So I talk to both because like they like school a lot, and then there's sometimes like don't like school a lot. So I like to talk to both of them. But,
okay. Yeah. So you identify with those that kind of float back and forth.
Yeah.
You guys catch what she was saying? The microphone's kind of doing some funky stuff here. But that's kind of an in and out type thing, like the neutral.
Mm-hmm.
I got it. Anybody else? Carson, who do you identify with, dude?
I kind of just hang out with my tight group of friends, and like every once in a while I'll go out and like hang out with like other people, like either like sophomores, juniors,
okay,
freshmen,
mix
like mix it up, yeah.
How do you mix it up with all these people from different countries, man?
It's pretty cool. Like hearing their stories and stuff, seeing like what's different about versus ours.
Everybody identifies with shopping.
It's cool, yeah.
Teenagers and shopping, we can handle this.
Yeah.
It's cool. Specific sport for you or no?
Not really, just like, I don't really hang out with people that like do a lot of sports. Like, I'll hang out with anybody.
Yeah. I love surfing, and I know when you first moved to the island, there was a connection there with us. Yeah. Initially, it was way deeper now, man. You know, tattoos are very cool. But anyway, I sit back and I go, when I first met you, I was talking great surf on the mainland. You were too. So that was the initial conversation there.
But yeah, just like anyone that I have a connection with, I'll hang out with, whether it's sports or whatever.
Very cool. Alright, anybody else?
I talk to everyone, really. If anyone needs a friend or they look like they're having a bad day, I'm like, hey, you aren't allowed to be sad today. And I kind of just, like, I go out of my way and I make sure everyone's kind of in a happy mood. And so, like, I don't want anyone to feel left out. Because, like, I've been that person where I've been left out, and I don't like that feeling. So I'm like, I'm going to make sure no one else feels like that. So.
That's a good motive. Okay, I got you. So you're thinking in terms of how the other person feels, and that helps you with how to react. Okay, do you ever go through problems in your friendships? Is there any fear or anxiousness around certain friends? Okay, Faith, you probably don't want to answer this one. But anybody else? Is there anything? Like, there's an anxiousness. You're hanging out with a group, but you feel like, you know, you said something, it could go viral, you know, anything that, is there any anxiousness there? Or you pretty much feel like Avalon's got this? We're one big happy family around here.
Sometimes I feel like there's definitely something. Sometimes I like, some of the people I hang out with, they like, they go and party and stuff, but like since I don't, sometimes I'll say something about that, and like, they'll just look at me like, you know, like,
a look?
Why would you say that? And I'm like, oh. Because now, like, I don't think that's more of their lifestyle, so they'll say something about that. And they're like, do you, like, not like me or something? And, like, instead of me have, like, I don't know. Like, so, mostly, like, just me saying something about that, and then them getting, like, does she not like me? Like, and then me having to be like, that's not what I meant. Like,
it would seem that girls would deal with this relationally more than guys who somewhat speak caveman language and are numb to it. But not true. Not true. Pablo has a lot to say this morning. He's been sharing the entire time, and I'm sure all of his friendships are just great. I'm putting him on the spot. I'm curious. Pablo, any difficulty, any anxiousness in any friendship for any reason at all? Or is it all just bed of roses?
Like, if I know they're going to, like, do something bad, like, I just, like, try to, like, leave. Like, I'm just like, all right, you guys go do that, and I'll leave. Just stuff like that, I guess.
Does it affect your friendship?
Nah, like, they understand, like, if I know, like, they're going to go do something, like, party and stuff, I'll just be like, nah, I'm good. And
you still feel accepted?
Yeah, like, they accept it. They're like, all right, like, we get you.
Is the companionship on the same level, even though you may choose to make a decision that is different than theirs? Is it really on the same level? You really feel that way? I'm just
curious. like since I know them, I've known them for a long time, okay. Like, they just learned to accept me for that.
Okay, that's the key. You guys have been together forever, so to speak, raised together. Sounds like that's the thing. Is that your thing? That's not my thing. But we're still the same. Interesting.
I think there's anxiousness with every person you talk to, whether you know or not.
Do tell.
Just, like, wondering what they're going to react to what you say, or just trying to say the right thing, I guess, kind of is always in your mind, whether you know them or not, even if you feel like a close relationship with them, like a brotherhood or a sisterhood, like, I'm pretty sure it's still, they don't want you to think of them differently, or you don't want to think of them differently.
Thank you for all that. Last question is, do you have a friend, like, on the companion level, you would say a friend, maybe here, maybe they're not here this morning, that takes it to the next level for you, and you could say that you rely on them in a tough time, like maybe recently you went through something, and you have a friend like that?
I do have a friend like that here, but also, like, just saying, it doesn't really have to do with what we're talking about, but when we went to SCA camp this summer, I made a lot of friends, and this past couple weeks with my dad's brother, like, having a hard time in the hospital, they kind of, like, one of them texted me, actually, just out of the random, saying, like, hey, what's up? And so then I ended up telling her, like, what happened, and it was completely random that she texted me, but it was just something, like, really, like, it really, like, brought me joy, because then I was able to tell her everything, and then she was just able to be like, oh, that's, like, I completely wasn't expecting that, but I'm glad you told me that, and I'm going to pray for you. And then my huddle leader and everything, like, they all were just, like, it was random, and it was really nice, and so that was really cool. And then also I do have, like, a friend here. She's not here, but I kind of tell her a lot, and she's really cool. But and she also went to camp with me, so, like, we kind of get each other deeper because of that, instead of just being my friend. Like, we don't really talk about more deeper stuff together and really understand each other because of things that, like, we've both gone through and stuff. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Okay, so for me personally, y'all know I like to talk a lot. Like, this is no surprise to anyone. But I personally, like, there's different people who are my friends that I like to talk to about different stuff. So, like, if I'm going through a hard time, I'll talk to one of my friends. It just depends on the circumstance. But really, this is going to sound, like, really cheesy, but my sister, even though she's in college, like, no matter what, like, we're both going through some of the same stuff. So I can always call her and be like, okay, this is, like, really cheesy, but, like, what do I do? Like, what do I need to do? And, like, she'll always tell me, and, like, I'm really blessed. I have a big sister that always helps me through stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, that is a blessing. Good stuff. Guys, any of you guys have somebody you can say is on the next level, friendship-wise?
I definitely have some friends over town that are like that, and some here. Small group over town is always there for me. We have a group chat every day. We'll talk about different things.
Nice.
That's awesome, having them. Like a real brotherhood over there.
Some mission.
Yeah.
Too, right?
Yeah, going on a mission trip to Uganda this this March, yeah.
Unless Vegemite's involved, don't do that.
Try not to.
You still, you got friends?
Well, I just got family that I rely on. They're always there for me, support me, and it's just nice to have them to talk.
Hey, thanks a lot. Let's give them a clap, man. That really means a lot.